Hi, thanks for listening to KSUT. I'm Sarah Flower. Today we'll be talking with Dr. Cecile Fraley, the CEO of Pediatric Partners of the Southwest, talking about all things COVID and children and this new inflammatory disease. Dr. Cecile Fraley, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for the invite, Sarah.
It has been such an interesting time in the land of COVID-19, and now coming online with this inflammatory disease in children. I think having senior citizens be a high risk for it, but now bringing kids into the picture is on a whole different level. Let's kind of talk about that and break that down for our listeners today.
Absolutely, this is a new. Sort of vague definition that's coming out from the CDC, purposely vague because it's an emerging illness that's come out of case reports from Italy, France, the UK, and most recently the New York Health Department released case reports on 102 kiddos. And while we know that in general, kids are very mildly affected, and in fact, there's only been 125 kids admitted to Children's Hospital from mid-March to the most recent dates in May, this is a frightening constellation of symptoms. It is kids under 21 who present with extended fever, labs consistent with a lot of inflammation, multi-system involvement, kids that are sick enough to go to the hospital, and about two-thirds of the kids ultimately test positive in some way for COVID or exposure, but not all of them. It's a little different. People there will compare this to something called Kawasaki's, which is an inflammatory disease, some of which has similar presentation. This syndrome, which is taking the acronym MIS-C, so miscellaneous, but the PEDS inflammatory syndrome is really rare. So again, I know I stressed that a little bit earlier, but for the most part, kids are weathering through COVID well. They're for kids with more respiratory symptoms, we worry a little more about the kids under one. So about a quarter of the kids admitted to the hospital with respiratory COVID symptoms at Children's were 0 to 3 months, but the vast majority were 11 years and older. And 60% of those kids with respiratory symptoms had some kind of underlying medical condition. Getting back to this inflammatory presentation that's been described in case reports, it is more likely to be older kids. Kawasaki's is something that we think of more in toddlers. Kids often have extended fever. A third or more will have really red eyes, like kind of like pink eye involvement, mucous membrane involvement where their lips look really red or they have peeling lips, and very high inflammatory markers. Again, many of the kids, while it can present up to 20 years of age, most of the average kids are age 7 to 8, where the kids with Kawasaki's, again, people compare that because it can sort of look similar clinically, are more toddler-like. One of the other things that I think parents would want to know is, like, when should I call? Well, if your kid has a fever, I think it's worth reaching out to your pediatric medical home to get some support and allow people to be following your child. The kids with the miscellaneous CDC kind of pediatric inflammatory syndrome are presenting with pretty severe GI symptoms, major diarrhea, abdominal pain, and vomiting, what we call emesis.
Well, I think it's important, the rarity, because the fear is so real for everybody, for your own safety, and then your the children's component. I mean, you did say that it was at Children's Hospital, but is that nationally or is that just in Denver? What is that, the 125 that you said?
Yeah, so that is a number of kids in Colorado that have been hospitalized with COVID.
Okay.
And the vast majority of those have been more of a respiratory symptoms. The these case reports that are presenting with this PEDS inflammatory condition, these are, interestingly enough, they typically are presenting 4 to 6 weeks after the peak. So if you think about New York City area, or Italy or London, when they peaked, it's 4 to 6 weeks later that they're seeing this inflammatory syndrome present in kids. And I think that's why we're only just beginning to kind of hear about that. Again, kids are much more likely to present with mild respiratory symptoms or even be asymptomatic than to present with this very rare inflammatory type of thing. But of course, we read about it and we're frightened as parents. It's frightening.
The other thing I think is it's becoming warmer outside. These summer-like conditions are here, and people are wanting to go outside. Children are wanting to go outside and play. And this balance of how do we get back to some kind of mental health and playfulness within children, but you know, wanting to adhere to these social distancing guidelines, which kids are not familiar with, and they want to play tag and wrestle, and you know, it's a different level than it is for parents and adults to understand this social distancing than it is within children.
Yes, I mean, I think it has been a gift to the medical system that people have been able to, what I call physically distance, socially connect. So it has been a real gift to not have the healthcare system get overwhelmed by sick adults, and also given us more time to learn about how to care for people in the hospital, especially the adults. So as we are re-engaging, I think we will have to kind of see where the numbers go. I mean, Southern Colorado was blessed in many ways to not have a huge number of cases, but definitely our close neighbors, the Navajo Nation, has been tremendously impacted, San Juan County. So I think staying in close touch with the health department's guidance in terms of how much do we want to open. And then I think every family has to look without judgment at their own cohort, if you will. Who in the family has type 1 diabetes? Who in the family has underlying lung issues? Not asthma, which interestingly enough has not proved to be a risk factor for COVID. So I think these are very personal choices, and I love that Durango's using a lot of compassion as people make different choices on how much exposure they want to have. I do feel that it's super helpful to wear a mask. And in our office, as we've reopened, we have, this week, we have asked people to come in with only one parent, if possible, no siblings. Again, just trying to honor some of this physical distancing.
And on Monday, you guys have kind of loosened your restrictions a little bit, too.
Yeah, we followed basically, I think, many of the hospitals that are starting, and Children's Hospital in particular, in terms of starting to reopen to elective surgeries, reopen clinics a bit more. We were just seeing the 2-year and under well visits, trying to keep those young kids up to date with healthcare and also vaccinations. We otherwise, prior to this week, were seeing everybody over telemedicine. That would include our behavioral health patients and patients that were receiving support for the stressors, family, of living under COVID. Our behavioral health consultants have been super busy supporting kids with worries and depression and things that flared up under COVID. So Monday we opened, we still are doing tele-sick visits at home, but we are bringing kids in, say, with concussions or earrings that are stuck or some other things that can only be done in the office. If somebody's ill in a way that we're worried about exposure, we're still bringing them through as a drive-through with our staff, whether we see you in the drive-through or we see you in the office with full protective, what we call PPE, on board.
Dr. Fraley, is there anything else that you think listeners and parents of children that need to know about COVID or this inflammatory or any of the things? What information do they need to know now?
You know, I would just really encourage families to be connected to whoever their pediatric medical home practice is. And if you find yourself worried or you find yourself trying to think through what's my exposure? How do I want to engage? I would reach out to the pediatric medical home. These are ongoing conversations our triage nurses and our providers are having, helping families assess their risk. You know, there is this kind of push-pull of wanting to be out in the world and also wanting to be careful, and I think it's going to be changing on a regular basis.
Dr. Cecile Fraley, CEO of Pediatric Partners of the Southwest, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT.
Thank you, Sarah.